This is Brother Hansen from Truth and Life Ministries here in Lakeside, Arizona. It's good to be here with you today. We're going to get right into our study in the book of the Revelation. And I believe we left off right around 16:16, right around in there, if you'd like to follow along. Now, picking up the thought in verse 14 before the interlude, the armies. Called by this Satan, actually, will gather at Armageddon. And volumes can be written about the events that took place at the hill of Megiddo, actually. The literal meaning of Armageddon, among others, in the book of Judges, a battle of cosmic proportions took place there. In 2 Kings, King Ahaziah of Judah died there in battle. Pharaoh Necho of Egypt killed King Josiah of Judah in battle there at Armageddon. Napoleon, we all know him, I believe. Napoleon fought there. Eisenhower called it the classic battlefield. What better place in all of the all of this scenario in addressing a Christian audience familiar with the Old Testament to place the final battle at Armageddon. 16 and verse 17, it is done. This recalls the cry, and we all remember this, from Jesus Christ just before his death on the cross. It is a cry of fulfillment and completion when he said, it is finished. We all remember that, don't we? Now, 16, 18, and 19. In this judgment upon the air, a spectacular destructive display of divine power takes place, including an earthquake so violent that there has never been one and like it since the human race began. Now, get ready. That's something you want to get ready for, isn't it? An earthquake so violent that there has never been one like it in history of the human race. Note Daniel 12 and verse 1, describing the time of great ordeal. It shall be a time unsurpassed in distress since nations began until that time. This is a time that it's going to be a time, folks, I'm telling you, and we don't want to under-describe it we don't want to say, oh, you can live through it. No, it's going to be pure judgment that's never, ever been released on this world until now. The great city was split into three parts. That is, it was completely destroyed. And with it, the Gentile cities fell. Now, as before, the great city of Rome. On the expression, the key, the cup filled with the wine of his fury and wrath. This particular expression, the cup filled with the wine of his fury, and wrath. Now, you'll remember that great song, the Grapes of Wrath, of where the grapes of wrath are stored, the one verse. This is somewhat like that, a cup filled with the wine of his fury and wrath. Now, 16 in verse 20, describing the parting of the Red Sea and of the stopping of the Jordan, the psalmist says, the mountains skipped like rams, the hills like the lambs of the flock. That's in 114 verse 4. Now, in the face of God's judgment in Rome, the islands and the mountains react, dramatizing the proportions of this act of divine judgment. Now, in 16 and verse 21, we see large hailstones, like huge weights, came down on the people. Large hailstones, like huge weights, came down on the people. The seventh of the Egyptian plagues was that of the killer hailstorm. Do you remember that? That's what happened. You know, this God tends to prepare the people with a little of what he's already done, symbolizing judgment on Egypt and judgment on the new Babylon, spiritual Babylon. This is something to come very, very shortly. This generation will not pass until all things be fulfilled. The seventh of the Egyptian plagues was that of a killer hailstorm. Now, after passing up all chances to repent, the people. Now, remember, they did the same thing when Jeremiah was preaching concerning the captivity, going into captivity into Babylon. They absolutely would not repent. They didn't have it within them. Remember, if you don't have that unction with the Holy One, the Holy Spirit, to repent yourself, you will not repent even on the day this takes place. Did you hear that? You better do it now. I'm going to give you the opportunity right now, because if you feel it now, you better do it. You better do it. Because you may not feel that unction with the Holy Spirit to repent on that day of judgment. If your heart hardens to the point where these people in Jerusalem hardened their hearts to the point where they could not, under any circumstances, repent. And God gave them every opportunity. He said, if you just repent, I'll spare you. I'll spare you. His grace was in operation back then to its fullest extent. As it is today, it's in operation. But once this takes place, you might have a split second. And if you don't have that energy of the Holy Spirit to repent, you're not going to. And you'll enter right straight into judgment hell. Did you hear that? These large hailstones, like huge weights, came down on the people. Seventh of the Egyptian plagues. That killer hailstorm. They passed all the chances to repent, just like Pharaoh. Pharaoh didn't repent. They blasphemed God and sealed their fate forever. They sealed their fate forever. And John, he described God's warnings of impending judgment, the seven trumpets, described their execution again, paralleling the plagues of Egypt to some extent. He ties the Exodus event to this deliverance of God's people from, and by having the same in heaven sing the song of Moses, and by referring to the temple in heaven in terms of Moses's tent rather than Solomon's temple, perhaps a story, there's a story from Rabbi Naaman of Bratslav. The children of Israel had crossed the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's army was drowned. The angels of heaven sang for joy until God silenced them. Are not the Egyptians my creation, my children as well? John's outlook is primarily apocalyptic, seeing no hope in present human history. This outlook was and is very popular in times of hardship. The prophetic outlook saw hope for history, actually, based on the righteous remnant of God's faithful people. And let's pray that there will be a remnant left to be either raptured or protected or something. Let's pray right now, Father, in Jesus' name. If anyone under the sound of my voice feels that unction to repent and to come into the fold, let them do so now. Let them pray this prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, I receive you, Jesus Christ, as my Lord, my God, my Savior. I absolutely allow the blood of Jesus Christ to cover me and forgive me of all sins. And let me appear before your throne spotless because of the blood and what Jesus did for me. I repent. I repent. I repent right now of my sins. And I want to follow the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name the rest of my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me right this minute and making me a born again child of God. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer, that's what it takes. Repentance is, as long as you're serious, not just funning. God will save you right where you're at. What, right there in your car. Right there in your house. Right there listening to your radio. He will. This viewpoint, when it's popular, when things are going well, will the pendulum always swing from one to the other? Or is it there a middle viewpoint? You never know. Why? Because some people absolutely will not accept repentance, and they will not repent under any circumstances. And that's hard to say, but it is true. It is true. Go to our website, krciradio.com. Shoot us an email. Let us know you're listening. And call us, 928-368-6766. Leave a message. Leave a message. We'll call you back. And write to us. If you'd like to support us, nobody takes a salary. The funds go to expenses, and we sure could use some supporters. But we're not begging under any circumstance. If God wants us up, he'll keep us up. But if you want to be part of something, write to us. KRCI Radio, Box 424, Lakeside, Arizona, 85929. Till tomorrow's broadcast, this is Brother Hanson saying, study, show yourself approved to God.